TV.
From the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, you've got the world's most outspoken Bible scholar and the pirate. What a 1-2 punch, what a deadly combination. Fatal to orthodoxy, fatal to mainstream Christian malarkey. Oh no, I can't use that term. You know who else uses that term? The fake commander-in-chief. We stand up against BS, and we destroy it whenever we see it. Martin Zender, Mark Haukes, it's great having him here. He relieves some of the depression of being alone, so I appreciate having a fellow believer here. It's been great having you here, Mark.
Well, it's been great getting together with you, Martin.
And, Thank you.
It's been just wonderful to talk about the scriptures. And
yes.
And last night, we saw Jesus Christ Superstar. It was the first time I ever saw the film.
Yeah.
When the album was first released, my parents and some friends of theirs had me and I believe my sister in a living room, and they critiqued savagely Jesus Christ Superstar. And I thought, hey, I like some of this music. And
but you never saw the movie till last night.
I never saw the movie until last night, and it was a blessing.
Yeah, it was great to share that with you. It's always fun watching Jesus Christ Superstar with somebody who's never seen it. I've seen it probably 40 times. I can't get enough of it. I just love it. So that was a great time of fellowship last night. Yeah, before we begin, I got a couple of things to share with you. We're going to get into more on the snatching away. This is kind of part two of yesterday's show. We don't announce it as part one and part two, but it's just a continuation of information concerning the snatching away. Now, this is not the timing of the snatching away. Now, that's going to be tomorrow's show, because Mark and I are going to make another show before he sails off to uncharted waters on Thursday, as pirates tend to do, you know? We're going to make a show on the timing. And Mark, the pirate, claims to have, and probably does. He doesn't claim things without substance. He has some interesting evidence in the scripture about the timing of the snatching away. So we're all interested in that. In the meantime, I got to share with you something funny. Remember we were talking about worship music, and I told our audience here about people, in order to try to cheer me up, you know, they send me these happy Christian songs, and they just depress me. They make me want to kill myself. And so I have since told people, you know, if you want to help me, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the sentiment behind these songs. I really do. But as I said the other day, I need rock and roll. And rock and roll videos with, you know, maybe some hot women in it. Well, lo and behold, fellow believer Simon Martin sent me a link to a video. And I opened the email and it said, rock and roll, check. Hot women, check. And it was Lenny Kravitz. I've never seen this. It was the Lenny Kravitz cover of American Woman, of the Who. The Guess Who. Yeah, the Guess Who. Lenny Kravitz covered American Woman. I'm going to link that to you down there for any interested parties who like the same kind of music I do. It's down there. Lenny Kravitz cover of American Woman. Okay. I don't do this very often. I was telling Mark I was going to do this. I got a wonderful letter today. I get nice letters all the time from people all over the world, and sometimes I share them. I don't share them all the time because it seems kind of self-indulgent, but you need to know that you're back on the right horse, and this outfit here, this outreach, is reaching people, and they're getting the truth, and it happens a lot. Like I told you, 25 new subscribers every month. Month after month after month. And all this is because of you, because of your support, your love, your prayers, and all that good stuff. So I'm going to read a letter I got from a woman named Donna, who's in Portland, Maine. This has made my day. Listen to this. Hi, Martin. I've only been aware of your existence for a few weeks, and yet I've been swimming in a sea of your videos. I love it, Donna. I love it. I don't know who this person is. First time I've ever heard from this individual. Swimming in a sea of your videos. You know, I spent years making these videos, and somebody's swimming in them. I love that. Yeah. They're out there, and the truth is timeless. I arrived at your site via my brother and teacher, and then she names her brother, I don't want to say his name, who for the past year has been waking up to the true word of God, and a couple months ago to the salvation of all, and he recommended Pilkington's book. Doesn't say which one, our fellow believer Clyde Pilkington. From there, I found Clyde on YouTube, but he hasn't done much recently. Oh, there you go, Clyde. That's an inspiration for you to get more videos out there. And then came you, and a landslide of great teachings that blew me away, along with misconceptions about God and Jesus. I've got myself a concordant literal New Testament from Clyde, previously a KJV only person.
Oh, wow.
Donna was KJV only, and now she's reading the concordant literal New Testament. I mean, that's like going from a donkey cart to a 747.
Yeah.
All right. Not done here. Oh, no. This really thrills me. I'm on number 209 of your Revelation series. Wonderful. And I've watched a lot of your MZ series. But that Revelation series, you know, it went from, I think, 2014 to 2017.
Wait a minute.
But the truth is still out there. Yes, you have a comment.
Well, she says a few weeks, and is she plowing through them sequentially? I mean,
yeah, she's going sequentially. Oh, you're right. She's only been in a few
209.
Weeks. 209 of the Revelation and MZTV.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, she's must be pumping the caffeine and just staying up 24 hours a day to catch up. Don't worry, Donna, you only have 600 shows to go on the Revelation series. And we're heading at the 900 shows of MZTV. Okay. I've watched a lot of MZ series. You sure make them interesting, funny, and revealing of his word and the struggles we are all going through and why. I will get around to your books, etc., but I've come a long way. Yes, you have, Donna, in a short period of time. Up until now, I've been telling people that I was saved 5 years ago. Haha, but I love the newly realized fact that I was saved 2,000 years ago. I'm on your email list, and I'm glad to let go of the idea of free will and know that God is behind my finding you, and most importantly, my salvation. I'm concerned that there may not be very many that are snatched up at the end of the eon due to misconceptions about salvation, free will, the Trinity, etc. My best friend is having a hard time believing these truths and yet is so anxious to be out of here. Well, in order to get out of here, we need to get your friend the truth. So pass, share some of the most appropriate videos to understanding Paul's gospel. I only pray that she takes the time to hear and to see the truth. Thank you, and sending you much love and blessings for you and your work, Donna, Portland, Maine. Isn't that beautiful?
It's very beautiful.
That just made my day.
Yeah, and it shows that we just don't know who is going to be touched and where. We leave it up to God.
We just broadcast. That's the essence of broadcasting. You just throw it out there.
And without revealing identities or anything like that, we Zoomed with someone who is coming into the truth of the salvation of all. And
yeah, last night, yeah.
And it was beautiful. So...
Yeah, Mark had a friend from way back, and we did a Zoom call. Must have been over an hour, I would say. I mean, it started light. We were outside, and it ended up being dark, and we talked to this person, and it was just beautiful when, you know, I mean, maybe you guys have experienced, maybe you ladies and gentlemen have experienced this, when sometimes you feel so down, and you feel like, I don't know anything. I just like, I feel empty. I feel used up. I got nothing left. And then, but it's just dormant. Don't worry. All the stuff you've learned here and elsewhere, it's in there. But sometimes it just lays dormant. Or is it lies dormant? Lays dormant? I never understood that rule. Anyway, it sleeps.
Lies dormant.
Okay, thank you. It sleeps until it's called upon. And then once it's called upon, like, you come alive. Like, I can be in a coma, I think. You know about being in a coma. Maybe I better not use it. What do I know? Tell me if this... Well, okay. I better use another example. You were in a coma for how long?
3 weeks.
I thought when people were in a coma, this alarmed me, and it really terrified me. You said... I always assumed that when people were in a coma, they didn't know anything. There was no passage of time, no nothing. It was like being asleep, or it was like being dead. But my friend here, the pirate, who has experience in these matters after his terrible accident 11 years ago, says that in his coma, he had dreams like 24/7. Is that true?
Well, not 24/7, but I remember maybe a dozen or more dreams, and they were like dreams on steroids. Some of them were on the good side, but one really horrible one is actually what propelled me toward finding out the truth. And long story short, I was in this atrium, and there's a television crew, and they're going to kind of expose me for, you know, the fraud that I was. And
well, you mean concerning the details of the accident?
Well, no, just my life.
Oh, was this in your dream?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were lining outside the hospital.
No,
to get at
no,
you.
Okay. No, but, and then I was, there was someone who was kind of moderating affairs and said, you've been found guilty, you know, of such and so, and I wasn't guilty, and you are sentenced to death, and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
That's not exactly death, is it? That's
no,
a harsh sentence.
That is the number one worst dream that I've ever had.
And you had it while you were in a nice, peaceful coma.
Yeah.
My God.
Remember, the one thing that stood out to me, Martin, yesterday, is Judas, and he said, just tell me that I'm not damned for all time.
Yeah, Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah, when Judas comes and throws the money back at the high priest, or maybe it's when he comes to them to see about giving them information, and he says, just don't say I'm damned for all time. Yeah, really insightful stuff there from Andrew Lloyd Webber and
Tim Rice. To
me, that
shows that this mindset, for example, in Andrew Lloyd Webber, is there. I mean, he tapped into it.
Yeah, he tapped into it. It was a bold thing to tap into. And then later in the movie, when Judas regrets, right, that Satan leaves him and he's back in his right mind, and he says, why did you choose me for your crime, mm-hmm. your foul, bloody crime? He admits that he was chosen. And earlier in the film, he intimates, or maybe he says it directly, that I only did what you wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, I'd sell out the nation, for I've been saddled with the murder of you. I've been spattered with innocent blood. Oh, powerful stuff, eh?
Yes. And so it actually has truth in it that a lot of Christians don't realize.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can get more truth in Jesus Christ Superstar than going to church. And probably in Lenny Kravitz's cover of American Woman. I think you get more truth in that song and the video that you would in church. Maybe it's going a little far. What? Find out for yourself. Watch the video. Okay. Now, in the waning moments of the video, we're going to begin our study here, our continuation of the snatching away. We'll get as far as we can and see how it goes. This is all off the cuff. We don't prepare anything. We do it on purpose because we like spontaneity. Mark likes to see my reactions, and I like to hear what he brings to the table. I like to hear it live, right along with you. I'm in the same boat as you. I've told you that for years. I'm in the same boat as you are. Okay, here we go. Mark, what do you got for us?
Well, just one thing to bring to the forefront that you've covered it, I know, but there may be new listeners, and that is that when Jesus died, he really died. So when Paul talks about the death of Christ for sin, he's talking about him ceasing to exist for 3 days. And that this took the greatest amount of faith to believe that God would honor his word and his promises to Jesus, that in 3 days that he would be raised out of the dead.
Yeah,
out of the
faith,
midst of the
yeah, dead. Faith on the part of Christ. Yeah.
And that we're saved by that faith.
Yeah. Yeah, we were telling your friend yesterday that Christ's faith is the engine. That's what saves us. And on a train, the engine is the only car that has power. And we're the other cars hitched onto the engine. And none of the cars hitched onto the engine of a train have any power source of their own. But they're still latched onto the engine, so it's one moving piece that consists of several pieces. But the main point is that only the engine has the power. we're all just latched on to the power of God, the power of Christ, and the faith of Christ.
Yes. So we ended our part of the video yesterday. We talked about in Ephesians 1:12 that we're pre-expectant in the Christ, that we have a prior expectation than Israel has.
Yeah.
Who doesn't realize theirs until 75 days after the second coming. Is that right?
Correct.
And so we're going to be snatched away before Israel's call. But I wanted to, I don't think we covered this yesterday, Colossians 1, 23 through 27 in the Concordant Literal New Testament. And it says, since surely you are persisting in the faith, and that's a body of doctrine.
Thank you for backing me up on that. A body of doctrine. I keep hearing, I heard it again today, I'm not going to tell you where, but saying that doctrine is not the basis of fellowship. Are you kidding me? Of course it's a basis of fellowship. Here, right here, persisting in the faith. Faith is a body of doctrine.
Yes.
I don't care how cold and intellectual it sounds. I'm sorry, but what business, I mean, Paul says, what business has a believer with an unbeliever? What's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever? The believer believes a body of doctrine. The unbeliever doesn't. Of course, our fellowship is based on teaching. Of course it is. Some people claim it's based on, like, whether you have a pure heart. Well, let me ask you something. How pure is a heart that believes in eternal torment? How pure is a heart that believes in free will? We're supposed to fellowship with these people? Just... they don't share any of our teachings. Okay, I went on a little mini rant there. Thanks for indulging
me. That's good.
Thank you.
So, since surely you are persisting in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not being removed from the expectation of the evangel, which you hear, which is being heralded in the entire creation, which is under heaven, of which I, Paul, became the dispenser, I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for you, and I'm filling up in my flesh, in his stead, the deficiencies of the afflictions of Christ for his body, which is the ecclesia, of which I became a dispenser in accord with the administration of God, which is granted to me for you to complete the word of God, the secret of which has been concealed from the eons and from the generations, yet now was made manifest to his saints, to whom God wills to make known what are the glorious riches of his secret among the nations, which is Christ among you, the expectation of glory. And you said that Paul doesn't like commas, but he...
Did he use one piece of punctuation in that whole section? I don't think so.
Well, a period at the end of verse...
Oh, congratulations, Paul.
But what I wanted to highlight and ask you to riff on is talking about the expectation of the evangel. And then in verse 27, it talks about Christ among you, the expectation of glory. So to me, once again, it's a package deal. Mm-hmm. It's not as though the snatching away is something detached from the gospel. It is part and parcel with it. Of course, it's based on the death of Christ for sin. But when he died, we died. And his entombment and his rousing from out of the midst of the dead ones. And when he was raised, we were raised. That,
yes.
In other words, our resurrection is guaranteed because of his resurrection.
That's right. I don't want anybody to get confused about that or listening for the first time. When the pirate says that we were entombed with him, we died with him. Of course, we didn't literally die with him. None of us were actually there. Even though Paul says we were crucified with Christ, roused with Christ, it's not literal. But in God's mind, God somehow decided to put the members of the body of Christ in with Christ. In other words, Christ's death, God considered to be our death, considered it to be. We're so associated with Christ. My friend Dan Sheridan, several years ago, said a very profound thing. He said, if you want to know your past, look at Christ's past. If you want to know your future, look at Christ's future. We're so tied up with Christ. Why? Because he's the head of the body. So we were considered to have been crucified with Christ without having to deal with those damn nails. You know, we didn't have to deal with that. And we didn't have to be dead for 3 days. But God graciously considered us to have the same experience as Christ. This is miraculous. Who could think this up? This is not of our invention. God graciously decided that we're going to have the same rewards as Christ has. Almost the same. I mean, he's a notch above, of course. He's the Son of God. But we're his brethren. We're his brothers. We're closer than that even. We're members of his body. So God has considered us to have been crucified. He considers us to have been entombed and roused with Christ. I mean, that's very gracious of God to do that without us having to go through the actual thing.
I'm not sure what it says in the Concordant, but what translation I remember is that in Romans, Paul says that we are joint heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him.
Joint heirs with Christ.
I mean,
Christ's inheritance, he's sharing it with us. He doesn't have to. He said, I got my inheritance. Isn't that what most pirates do? They put their hands in the treasure chest. Mine, all mine. Yeah, they don't want to share with anybody, right?
Right.
But here's Christ. He's got all this treasure as a result of his obeying his Father, having faith in the plan, going to the tomb, rising again. He has a name higher than every name in the celestial realm, higher than even he had before he came and did this work. And he could hog that up all to himself. What does he do? He calls us in the room and says, this is all yours as well. This is all yours. It's unbelievable. Who does that? Who? I ask you. No pirate has ever done it.
No, it's not, so Jesus Christ would be the pious pirate.
The pirate.
The pious pirate.
Jesus Christ, we have a new title for him, the pious pirate.
To share all the treasures and not keep them on, buried in the sand. So, I mean, this is amazing, Martin. And then Paul, in this section, he talks about how he is the dispenser of this evangel. So you can't get it elsewhere. It's sold only here, so to speak.
Yeah, this is exclusive merchandising rights. Can you go up a little bit back to the word expectation? Mark was highlighting the fact that the expectation, we of the nations have an expectation of the evangel. That's in verse 23 of Colossians 1. And then later on, in verse 27, we have the expectation of glory. So the parallel being drawn is the evangel is not sold separately from the glory. And the expectation of glory is being made immortal. When does that happen? At the snatching away. And what shocks me in this verse, Christ among you, the expectation of glory, is when he says Christ among you, he's speaking to the nations. He's speaking to people who had no expectation before, none. They were, in fact, in Ephesians, is it in Colossians? I think it's in Ephesians. You had no expectation in the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they were worshiping pagan deities, and as you say, rocks and sticks. And
yeah, they were worshiping pagan deities, and now they have, those same people have an expectation of glory, and as we said yesterday, it's a glory even above Israel's terrestrial glory. Israel's going to be, the worthies of Israel will be changed, made immortal, and they will rise to walk on the earth, to be part of a kingdom on earth. Not us. We're going into the celestial realm. Let me look at the time, Mark. Yeah, we're going on 23 minutes. Can we finish it up in a few minutes here? And we can always do a part three.
Yes.
Believe me,
well,
I'm used to this.
This dovetails with what Paul later says in Colossians 3 and verses 1 through 4. If then you were roused together with Christ, be seeking that which is above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid together with Christ in God. Whenever Christ, our life, should be manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory. So this death of Christ and his rousing were included in it.
Yeah, if there has the sense of since. since then, you were roused together with Christ. And there's that identification. Like, I was roused with Christ. I wasn't born until later. But...
And it's nothing that we have to feel.
It's nothing we have to feel.
It's a simple fact.
It's a fact. It's just you believe a fact. God considers us to have been crucified and roused together with Christ. Together. That's the key there.
I guess the last thing that I was going to bring to the table is what Paul talks about in Romans 1:16 and then in 13:11. And in my opinion, there's another linkage between the gospel and the snatching away, because he says in 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then it says in 13:11, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation," or literally the salvation, "is nearer to us now than when we first believed." And, you know, for those in the body of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation, I think, in all of its dimensions. But Paul's also focusing on the fact that this is a salvation that is, this salvation he's talking about is the snatching away.
I agree with you. He's talking about the snatching away there.
And so, and, you know, I've done a little bit of work in Greek, and I am disposed to translate salvation as rescue. Others may not follow with me on that. I mean, there's a certain train of thought in translation work, and a lot of them fall in lockstep with the King James Version, but it is a rescue. Rescue out of sin.
Yep.
Rescue, finally.
Is it Romans 5:19, rescue out of the coming indignation?
Yes, yes. And so, you know, I'm all for rescue.
Yeah. Bring on the rescue. Well, the thing is, the rescue has been basically completed and assured and guaranteed. You said something earlier that I didn't capitalize on, that that Christ being the firstborn among the dead is the guarantee that all will be raised. The first fruit in Israel was a guarantee of the rest of the crop. And the first fruit from among the dead is a guarantee that the rest will be raised immortal, even as he is. But the body of Christ first.
First. The backstage pass at the concert.
Yes. We have the backstage pass at the concert. That's the analogy I always use. Okay, sorry for the mic rattling around. I really need two microphones for this whenever I do interviews, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. I need technical support. Do you know how to do it?
Hey, listen, I did tech support for you for your charger and got it going.
So. Oh, yeah, I got a phone charger, and I didn't know how to fix it up, and Mark did it. So, all right, I'm going to give you, yeah, you've been faithful over a few cities. Now I'm going to give you, you know, an entire region.
Yeah.
All right, folks, thanks for listening to us. We're going to the next show you see and hear. Will be inside information that you're only going to get at MCTV from the pirate. His thoughts based on scripture. I know this man, he never comes at you except he has scripture. I do the same thing. Always putting the verses down here so that you don't believe me. You believe the word of God. And we are heralding the word of God. I'm thankful to be a herald along with my fellow worker here, Mark Haukes. We greet you, and watch out, because we're coming back.